Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The word of God that is the basis for our meditation this morning is again taken from the epistle of 1 Peter. We continue in chapter 3 with verses 18 through 20. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who descended into hell to proclaim his victory, dear fellow redeemed, in his precious blood. I was shaking hands at a nursing home service a number of years ago when one of the ladies pointed to her service folder and she asked me, "Pastor, why do we say that?" The words at the end of her finger were in the Apostles' Creed, specifically, "He descended into hell." I'm glad that she asked, rather than return to her room with a question. I directed her to her Bible, encouraged her when she got back to her room to read what it says in 1 Peter 3, verses 18 and 19. I told her that she would read about how Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. I didn't shy away from her question because what we believe and confess in the Apostles' Creed is taken from Holy Scripture. We take our teaching from the Bible and believe it based upon that word. We show that we respect God and his word when we trust and treat his word with respect and humbly let it speak. In fact, that's our goal every time we take up a study of God's word, whether it's here in the sermon or in Bible class. It is our goal to understand what's being said to us. We therefore ask that the Holy Spirit would guide us, that we may understand the word correctly, and we take Jesus' words as our opening prayer. Sanctify us by the truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Have you ever visited somebody in prison or in jail? In my service as pastor, I have had opportunity to visit people in jail, in minimum, medium, and maximum security prisons. I have to tell you that I always found it rather uncomfortable to enter into the prison and have multiple heavy steel doors locked behind me. I always felt relief when those doors were opened and I was locked out, not locked in. My purpose in visiting people in prison was to minister, to bring the word of God to people, even members, in need of both law and gospel. My purpose was to speak the truth, as the Apostle Peter does here. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. It isn't only people who are in prison who need to hear that Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Because regardless of what we may think about ourselves, we are no less sinners than those who are behind bars. For this reason, it's important that we remember we are included among those who are here called the unjust. Of course, you know that. But sometimes we have difficulty seeing the truth about ourselves because we would rather grade other people as worse than ourselves or imagine that God grades on a curve. My sins aren't nearly as bad as his. God has given us his law and, in fact, originally written it in the heart so that we see that we have sinned. We are indeed unjust before God. For example, God's law shows us that we have not put God and His word first in our lives. God's law shows that we have been disobedient to His representatives, whether it's talking about our parents or others whom He's placed over us. It shows us that when we gossip, we break God's law and tear down the reputation of others. Once we've heard God's law, if we then say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, the Apostle John says, and the truth is not in us. The law shows plainly that we are unjust. We are guilty sinners. It's then that sinners need to hear the good news, not just those behind bars either, that Christ was sent to suffer and to atone for the sins of all. Jesus himself is the one who's here called the just, and for good reason. He is the only example of a human being without sin. He, in fact, earned favor with God by his sinless life. But then, in a twist that only God's amazing love could devise, he was the one, the perfect one, the just one, who suffered. Moreover, he suffered instead of us to bring us to God. It's by faith in Christ, whether in jail, in prison, or free citizens, that we are on right terms with God. To put it simply, guilty sinners need to be directed to Christ, who made things right, not to themselves or to their deeds. But Jesus didn't only suffer and die for sins. The words that follow here offer a timeline of sorts, relating to us in a simple way what happened on Good Friday through Easter Sunday, even revealing an event that's not pictured, at least not in vivid form, in the Gospels. So we're told that, first of all, Christ suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. After he suffered, he died. And he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. What happens to every human being at death happened to Christ when he died. Jesus' soul and body were separated. The gospel writers Matthew and John bear witness to that event on Calvary on Good Friday, telling us Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Or, bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. His soul left the body. Jesus' body hung on the cross until it was taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But his soul, as he prayed, was received into the Father's hands. And then the body was removed from the cross, laid in the tomb on Good Friday before 6 p.m., where that body laid until the first day of the week. The next event in this divine timeline is not what we'd expect. We expect next to hear about the resurrection. But it says here that Jesus was revived, made alive. His soul and body rejoined. While every other sacrifice given for sins stayed dead, Christ, the one sacrifice they all pictured, returned to life. And then he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Let's take a close look at what's said here. It happened sometime on Easter morning after Jesus was revived from the dead that we're told he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Spirits for prison? Prison for spirits? There's only one prison for spirits that's mentioned in the Bible. It's called by different words in the Old Testament, Gehenna, Sheol. We know it as hell. What about purgatory? The Bible doesn't say anything about purgatory, a supposed holding tank for souls. Purgatory is, in fact, a fable. But hell is a very real place, created by God for the devil and his angels. Unfortunately, the Bible also tells us that those who die without faith in Jesus, the Christ, will find their souls in hell until the resurrection, and thereafter both soul and body in hell. What does it say that Jesus did after proceeding to the spirit for or prison for spirits? Why do I keep doing that? Did he suffer? No. His suffering was concluded at his death. Did he rescue Old Testament believers? No. Did he give them one last chance to repent? You know, the devil and all the others in hell. No. He did one thing. He preached to the spirits in prison. He brought news of his victory. Today, our news comes to us almost immediately from around the globe, thanks to satellites and the internet. Years ago, the news came by wire, by newspaper, or in the Middle Ages, by public proclamation. In the Middle Ages, the town crier would stand in the city center and invite the people to listen, and then he would announce with a loud voice, news from around the country, from around the world. What did Jesus do when he went to hell? He proclaimed news. The word simply means to proclaim as a herald, to announce something out loud. What would Jesus have to announce? His victory over sin and death. Think of it like this. After great victories, the Romans would return to Rome bearing the spoils. The victorious soldiers would march into Rome in full array, prodding along the kings they had defeated and their dignitaries. And the victorious general would, in front of the emperor, place his foot on the neck of those kings, symbolic of their utter and complete defeat. We should think of Jesus' descent into hell like that. He came to hell to announce his victory, to parade before his enemies. It was the first step of his glorious exaltation. And to whom did he announce his victory? Well, of course, to the devil and his angels. But we're also told some of the crowd that was present. From the days of Noah, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. They had, in their lifetimes, sneered at God's warnings and at God's promises made through Noah. And now, because of unbelief, they were imprisoned in the prison of souls, awaiting the final judgment. When Jesus descended into hell, they met their judge. They met our victorious Lord Jesus. While they were judged, Noah and his family were saved by the mercy of God in the ark from water. We have earned the right. We deserve to be imprisoned with those people who sneered at God's warnings. But we have been rescued by God through Jesus Christ. We too were saved by means of water, not the water of the flood, but the water of God's mercy in baptism, which obtains its power from the Word of God. So there you have it, the timeline of our redemption, Easter morning edition. Jesus was put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit, and went and proclaimed his victory to the condemned in hell. And while that announcement must have caused their hearts to shudder with fear, it causes us to sing for joy with the hymn writer. For the joy thine advent gave me, for thy holy precious word, for thy baptism which doth save me, for thy blessed communion board, for the death, the bitter scorn, for thy resurrection morn. Lord, I thank thee and extol thee, and in heaven I shall behold thee. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.